Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Welcome to the Behind the Racket Pod, the podcast taking you behind the racket with today's top tennis players and biggest issues facing the sport.
Behind the Racket is a community to give fans and players in the world of tennis the opportunity to open up like they have never done before.
Visit BehindTheRacket.com for the latest stories, merch, as well as direct links to all of the latest podcasts. It can also be found on iTunes, Google Play, Pandora, Stitcher, and wherever you find your podcasts. Download the episodes and make sure to leave a review.
And we want you to be a part of the conversation. Find me at NoahRubin33 or Mike at MikeCTennis on all forms of social media. You can also learn more at BehindTheRacket.com or MikeCTennis.com.
Special thanks to my sponsor, New Balance. Visit their latest shoes and styles at NewBalance.com and learn more about their program of giving back at #NBGivesBack.
You can also help support the podcast by visiting patreon.com/behindtheracketpod and receive rewards from our travels around the world. And now.
A couple of years ago, I believe it was 2014, was the first time I really kind of got a grasp of these two young men, because there they were on the green grass at Wimbledon together, playing in a final. Unfortunately, the wrong guy won. That's the unfortunate part. But Noah Rubin and Stefan Kozlov, I think this is the first time. I think this is the first time you guys have chatted since like 7 years. So, Stefan, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. For people who can't see, right? He is in this fabulous setting behind him in Florida with pine trees, a lake, a swimming pool, and I'm right now so jealous of your life.
I'm not gonna lie, the view does look incredible. When I turn around, it's not as nice.
how are you? You guys were just both at the UTR event, but mm-hmm. How are you in general? Take the tennis aspect out of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great way to put it. I feel like I'm good. You know, I finally feel like I'm. You know, things are slowing down for me after a couple years of, you know, some high intensity and you know, the pressure of the tour and all that good stuff. So I feel like the COVID, you know, shutdown was actually the best thing that could have happened for me. I feel like I've been able to reflect back really well and see things a lot clearer recently. Obviously I've gotten older, but I really feel like this time it's kind of given me time to reflect and think about, you know, my journey so far and my vision going forward. So, yeah.
But kind of, and we're going to go straight into the tough questions, please, and you can please go as deep as you want or
sure,
not.
No problem.
Stefan Kozlov. I mean, that was a name that everybody looked up to, everybody knew mm-hmm. and still do, but kind of take us through the journey and evolution of Stefan Kozlov, you know, from, you know, God, finaling Sacramento sure. when you were 6 years old? How old?
Sure. No, I
oh, man. But, like, kind of take us through that and the pressures that came with, you know, you were the prodigy. You were that next sure. coming. And what did that feel like for you?
Sure. No, it's a good way to start it off. You know, it's a hard question, obviously, but I feel, you know, finally mature enough to be able to just, you know, say it as it is and hopefully learn from it. And if I could help anyone else in the process, you know, that would be amazing. Right. Obviously I had a tremendous junior career, you know, where, you know, I like really just phenomenal and everything came super easy for me. And I say that in a very, you know, easy way. Everything came easy and, just, you know, obviously struggles came a little bit more with the pro tour. I started pretty hot and mm-hmm. then just, I think a lot of expectations, to be honest with you, like a lot. And, you know, I feel like some people do better with expectations than others. And I just, obviously I didn't handle it in the best way that I could, and it just started a kind of a chain. You know, it's, you know, being successful at anything requires, you know, doing the little things to the highest level, you know, adding each day, getting better. And I kind of lost that, and I'm still trying to find it. You know, I don't have the answers right now. I wish I did, but it's been something that I've had to kind of learn and try to get the most out of.
You're still, I mean, you know, we talk about this, and we always do this in the world of tennis, this idea that we're so old now, like you're 22, you know, putting that in perspective a little bit, like you're still a kid. Sure. But, you know, the last thing is, like, you know, how did you feel going onto the court with all these expectations, and how are you going onto the court now, you know, playing the UTR event or going to the Futures and Challengers that you're playing? What is that mentality switch for you?
I mean, I still have trouble. I still struggle with, you know, the mental aspect of the game. You know, there's no way around it. It's something that came super naturally for me in the juniors, and I was able to use it to my advantage, you know, a lot. And but it's something that's kind of, you know, hindered me in the pros a little bit, that I've had to really try to work on and understand that, like, you know, most of it is mental, right? You look at it, everybody hits the ball amazing. Everybody in practice can beat anybody for the most part. But it comes down to, you know, I feel like who's got that edge mentally, who's got that confidence, who's got, you know, the right routines and the habits. And for me, for a couple of years, and I hope that, I mean, I don't want to sound certain, but I feel like I've started to figure it out a little bit. And, you know, I had a couple of years where things were really tough. Just could never grasp the situation, if that makes sense. Just felt out of control. It's the best way I can put it.
I do want to kind of go through that period, because I remember talking to you, Sarasota, and I'm gonna guess it was 2017. You came in the tent, and we were talking about poker and different things. Somebody you were dating at the time, and we had like this really long chat. And I kind of just got the sense at that time, and again, I think it was 2017, cause that you just, the focus wasn't on tennis, right? There were a lot of different things that were going on in your life. And I wonder if you can kind of explain what that was as best you feel comfortable, and then how you kind of slowly have gotten back to come around to tennis.
That's a great question, Mike. The best way I can try to put it, the best way I can put it is my life became very comfortable. Mm. I signed some endorsement deals, certain things happened. I made some money. For me, it was a lot of money, because, you know, I grew up not having much. I mean, you guys know, with my dad always on top of me, kind of, you know, leading the way to, you know, I attribute all my success to my dad for the most part. You know, without him, you know, I don't know what I'd be doing right now. So with that being said, you know, growing up, not always having, you know, all the opportunities financially, I reached a point where a lot of that stuff, you know, started to happen for me. And it was, you know, financial success. It was, you know, meeting a girl that I fell in love with, and just a lot of different things happened. And that definitely took away from my goal. Let's say we have a conversation when I'm 15 years old, I'm convincing you that I'm going to be number one in the world.
Right.
You know, I'm convincing you. That's how I felt. I felt, you know, like, why not me? You know, I felt that I put in the work, which I did from age, you know, 5 to whatever, 15, where I was on court for 6-7 hours a day. Just, it was my whole life. And I felt, you know, why not me? Why can't I do it? And that's how I started to build up and reached a pretty high level. And then, like you said, you know, you brought up a great question. You know, what exactly transpired, and I think that's the only thing I can really, you know, grip is I gained a lot of financial independence. Mm. I gained a lot of, I guess there's a word I'm looking for, but I'm not really sure how to say it. You know, I don't want to sound arrogant in any way. So that was, you know, that took away, obviously, that took away from my focus needed. That you need to be a top player. It's not easy at all. You know, it's being in the top 50 requires a lot of dedication. And, you know, you guys know about that. I don't need to ramble about that.
But for you, and to kind of take it off your plate, and not an excuse, but instead of, you know, calling it comfortable, do you think you were just tired? I know that sounds funny, but we talk about this a lot. And you said it yourself of this understanding of you are on court 7 hours a day since you were born, where you're just like, shit, I don't know if I can got this year. Like, do I need a break? Do I need to take a second? Like, yeah, it's nice to be with a girl and relax and palm trees. Like, was that going through your head at all?
I definitely think that was going through my head. I do remember that feeling. Like you said, looking back, maybe if I would have made the decision to take a year off from tennis, in the long run, it would have been the best thing for me, right? Going through what I went through from age 5 to 15 with all the tennis and the travel and the tournaments, that takes a toll on you.
Yeah.
And I finally gained some independence, you know, moved away from my parents, had the ability to kind of do what I wanted, right? And like you said, that's definitely something that probably crossed my mind more than I wanted it to and hindered some of my decision making. And you know, you live and learn, I guess. But that's a huge part of it, Noah. That's a great insight by you.
I want to paint the picture for the people that are going to listen to this. Out of all the practices that we had, here I am probably drenched in sweat, running around the fucking tennis court like a chicken without his head, and you're just dinking balls. You're just toying with me. And this was the Stefan that I hated so much. I hated
and I loved
you.
So
and I
much.
Literally despised you. But then I got off the court and I was like, holy shit, like this guy is ridiculous. Like no matter what you do, this guy can put the ball where he wants, and you still can. I mean, that didn't leave. Sure. What are the next steps to get back to that feeling of just, I love doing whatever I can with the tennis ball?
Sure. Just to add on to your point, you know, that's funny that you say that, because my whole life, everybody's told me, dude, like you do that, you do this, like, how do you do this? And like, you play a certain style of tennis, the dink and dunk. Like for me in the moment, like I didn't know what the hell people were talking about. Like it's just how I grew up. You know, I grew up on the ball machine, always doing like crazy, or not crazy, but weird drills. So my game developed in a different way. And that's just all I knew. That's all I knew. So I was always confused what people meant. But now obviously I look back and
dink
I see
and
this,
dunk.
I see this, whatever, 15, 16 year old playing like a challenger in Sacramento and hitting like dinks down the line that like guys are like, it's not even passing the baseline. It's like a drop shot dink winner, but it's topspin. So like you just, you know, you see stuff like that. And, So what I need to do, I feel like is just develop, you know, I'm never going to really completely change away from that. That's always going to be my somewhat style, you know, but I feel like weapons have to be, you know, developed. Serve needs to become much better. Fitness is something that I really try to focus on and try to understand that, you know, for me to play that style of game and to have any success on the tour, you know, being a beast is gonna open up a lot of doors for me. So that's something that I've never really taken super seriously, as you guys can probably tell. I'm kidding.
You get
the point. Mike takes it super seriously.
I am a machine, clearly.
Mike, your shapes. Mike is just different shapes.
Circles on top of circles on top of circles.
I find it so funny the way you two just rip at each other. I could just listen to you all day, man.
I get texts from my mom all the time, like, why do you guys hate each other so much? And I'm like, that guy's awful. Why,
and I just reply, well, it's because he's Jewish.
That's like me. That's like Noah and I back in the day, man.
Oh my god. Well, we got in a fight and we don't have to go into the details, but Steph and I just have to tell the story. Steph and I got into a fight. I mean, he was -3. So he was what, how old? Probably 15 at the time? 16?
I'd say. Yeah, around there.
And I was 17. Yeah, maybe even younger than that. And we got into a fight. I told him we wouldn't talk for the rest of the week. I then that night looked at my bed and had a handwritten note, but it was like to one Randall's Island. Like that was the one thing you knew. And then it was a whole thing. Like, I apologize. And I still have that to this day and will be framed and signed by you. So just get ready.
God. I the fact that you still have that is amazing. I can't imagine my handwriting and
your handwriting.
Dude, I'm scared to look at it, but no, I mean, it's, you know, traveling the world at such a young age, you know, the people that you do it with, like you, you know, we were pretty much best friends at the time. And, you know, it's a brotherhood. And, you know, I remember feeling so bad that
my man, through some
my
shit.
Man Noah. Yeah, exactly. Sorry. You took it, you retaliated in the Wimbledon final.
Kaz, I along those lines, I've obviously been around the game for approximately 72 years and have seen a lot of people who have, you know, quote unquote phenoms. Okay. And a lot of them, you talked about being, having to travel from 5 to 15, and a lot of them as a result lack basic social skills. I find that that has never been something that you have lacked. I've told the story before multiple times about this kid just showing up behind me in Sacramento and then introducing himself, and it's you, right? And I've never found you to be awkward, whereas a lot of kids who are phenoms have been incredibly awkward.
All tennis players.
Yeah, well, that's true. Players. But why was that important to you? Was that something that your parents emphasized? Where did that come from?
Yeah, well, first of all, I appreciate the nice words. That means a lot. My dad always just tried to, you know, teach me to just be a man from a young age and you know, try to teach values in me. And, you know, obviously, you know, we all turn out how we turn out. You know, I'm not exactly sure how that went down, but obviously it's something that my parents, you know, installed in me from a young age, just those, you know, those values and social skills, just trying to be interactive and nice to people. I remember there were times where, you know, my dad would teach me a hard lesson on how to treat people and, you know, stuff on the lines like that. So, you know, I'm not really sure exactly. It's an interesting point you bring up though. I see what you're saying.
Going back to something you said was, you know, you just want to help people possibly through the same situation or a similar situation that you dealt with. You have the chance to go back, what are we doing differently? You know, what are we learning from this? What are we doing differently? Again, another topic Mike and I speak about, you know, all the time is this idea of, you know, maybe not putting all your eggs in one basket. You know, a lot of guys are streaming nowadays. Mike plays poker all the time. This idea of just having other things, you know, what are some of the mentality shifts that you would, you know, instill, you know, to some kid that's coming up like you, you know, 12 years old and not looking to have these lapses and end year lapses where you're feeling uncomfortable and upset with the situation.
Sure. You know, obviously now that I'm older, I feel like I have a lot more perspective of the situation and have gained clarity of my experiences. So, you know, I think not putting as much importance into winning and losing and stuff like that, you know, it's, the end of the day, it's a process, and I wish I looked at it more like that instead of trying to, you know, always had that burden of you know, people watching you and always trying to be your best and feeling like you could never make a mistake. So I feel like, you know, being okay with making mistakes and learning from them and just following the, at the end of the day, it is a process. You know, you got to develop your game and keep developing. It's every day. Now I feel like I'm trying to get my game better, but at the time I was too wrapped up in winning and losing, you know, what my coach thought, what, you know, this commentator is going to say, you know, what these players think, you know, there's a lot of stuff like that when you're 16, 17 that consumes you. And so really just trying to install that into my brain at 17, just understanding that it's okay to, you know, it's okay to lose. You just got to focus on being better. And I feel like for me, that was a tough pill to swallow because I was, you know, I did so much winning from a young age, and losing a lot when I got onto the tour was something that was tough for me. And obviously, you know, it sounds pity, but I had to get used to, and, you know, so just being more open-minded towards that embracing the struggles that you'll have. You know, we all have struggles on the tour, and you know, you look at Novak and all those guys, even they, you know, they struggled. So it just shows you that it's something that you go through.
I wonder if you've ever actually, have you ever actually spoken to Donald Young about what he went through? Because he was actually the first guy I talked to when he was 16, just about what he was going through and how he dealt with it. And I'm wondering if you've ever spoken to him about those same things.
I haven't, but I would love to. Obviously, he's a guy that went through a lot. And I would love to have a conversation with him one day, hopefully, about, you know, what he went through and just share experiences. And maybe that's something that I'll do in the future. You know, now that's, you know, a similar story in a way, you know.
You could talk to Mike, who is also not, you're not a phenom. Sorry, never mind.
Now listen, I showed my daughter this very morning a picture of myself winning a tennis tournament, which I have. I had to. It was like black and white photo.
You got a participation medal? Congratulations.
I won a tournament once. You mentioned your dad with the coaching situation. You've gone through, who was it? Was it Wettengel? Was that the Ohio, former Ohio State guy that you were, who was traveling with you in Champaign a couple years ago?
He was with me in Champaign, just a really good friend of mine.
Okay.
He just needed someone to be there. Yeah, I've kind of had a lot of coaches through the years.
Yeah. So where are you at with that, and how do you incorporate your dad along with just kind of this new process and the independence?
Yeah. So my dad and I had a really good relationship up until like 16, 17. Then, you know, all the rockiness started with the results, and, you know, things didn't go as I guess planned for in his eyes, which is you know, something that I have to live with every day. The expectation, you know, my dad set a high bar, and, you know, just because I didn't reach it, you know, things were just rocky, I can say. And you know, I kind of eliminated him from my life for a little bit. I felt like I needed to, and I felt like it was the best for me as a man. And now things are 100 times better than they ever could be. So I've been spending a lot of time with him, you know, at the academy here, just trying to, you know, at the end of the day, he's the guy that, you know, took me to a high level, and we're learning a lot about each other as we go. And that's something that, you know, I'll always, you know, be grateful for. So, but also, you know, looking for another, obviously, person to, you know, guidance, you know, it's a tough thing to, you know, to find the right coach. It's never easy. So especially when you have a father that thinks he knows it all. So it's not easy at all.
So, you know, you're still playing tennis right now. You still want to be the best you can be, but, you know, realistically, it's a very tough time period to play anything, to get into any tournaments. What does the next few years look like for you? You know, do you still love tennis? Are we on this path? Are we on the right path? What does that look like?
Yeah, obviously a very shaky time right now, which is, it's been great because at the beginning of COVID, I had a stress fracture in my back. So it took about 3-4 months. I was playing in Delray. I'm not sure if you guys know, but whatever, had a stress fracture in my back, took some time off, 3-4 months, and then started up again. And, you know, the way I feel about my career moving forward is I feel like I have an opportunity. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. You know, I feel like I can play with the best in the world, and I've proven, I've practiced with a ton of guys, and on a consistent basis, I feel like I'm proving that I can hang with them. And so I'm just trying to do everything I can and control the things I can control to improve my mental, my fitness, and all that stuff that's maybe lagging behind. Because I know that I can hit the ball with pretty much anyone in the world. You know, I feel like I'm very talented and don't have any huge technical flaws. So just trying to bring those things up and give myself an opportunity, you know, just give myself a real opportunity, put everything into it. And you know, obviously you can make a lot of money playing the sport, but at the end of the day, it would mean a lot to me to get back to that high level where you have the guys like Zverevs and the Rublevs and the Tiafos, who I grew up playing juniors with, who I grew up beating. And that's been something that's kind of, you know, I guess been tough on the ego, let's say. So to me, that's my greatest motivation, regarding tennis moving forward. It's maybe it's not the best one, but it's one of my, you know, one of my top motivators. And I hope to one day, you know, just like, you know, play one of those guys on a big stage and kind of say, hey, I'm back, you know, in a way. And with all due respect, because those guys have put in a lot of work and are, you know, amazing players. So
no respect. No. No. I've seen their Twitter accounts. No, it's okay. We're good. We're good.
You are 22. So you've got plenty of time to get to that level when you're ready and when everything kind of comes together for you. I want to, before we let you go here, your brother, he's in college, and I'm assuming he is enjoying life quite a bit while also competing at LSU. Tell us about what his life is like, what you feel like you might have missed out on with the college experience, how you've tried to maybe get a little college experience over the last couple of years, and how Boris is.
Yeah,
is he catching lizards right now or no?
Oh, I'm, he's probably catching, you know, whatever. I don't know what he's catching right now.
Mike, at these junior tournaments, he would go around. I'd turn around, he was there.
Yeah.
And then I'd turn around, he had 9 lizards in his hand that he would just catch. He was like a...
It's like my child.
Unbelievable.
My 6-year-old.
You know how, lizards, when you like hold them, they like, you put out your finger, they'll like bite it, bite on it?
Right.
He used to like attach them to his ears. Okay. I don't know how, but he would like hold the lizard and it would... He would put it on his ear and it would like bite down and it would hold and the lizard would just hang like an earring. It's absurd.
Okay.
But yeah, he was just down here for three, four weeks. Okay. So always good to spend time with him. And just, you know, I've been meaning to go down and spend time with him at LSU, just hitting with the team. It's something that I've wanted to do ever since he's been there. And Andy Brandy and Chris Brandy are, you know, super welcoming. And
sure.
I just, to be honest, just want to get down there ASAP. And obviously the LSU football team last year was my opportunity to go.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And now they're giving up like 75 points a game, so I'm not going to that game. But yeah, I wish, you know, college, it's such an interesting discussion, you know, about the whole thing. Should you or should you not go to college? You know, I didn't. It was somewhat, I guess, forced in a way. You know, my parents kind of maybe decided at a young age with me to put all the eggs in the basket to go pro. And I think college is a great route. I think if you go in with the right focus and intentions, you can accomplish, you know, you can use it as a stepping stone into the pros, right?
Yeah.
Especially where the game's headed these days, getting older and older. So he's improved a lot actually since he's been in college. So, you know, Chris and Andy have done a fantastic job, and he's playing like 3 or 4, I believe, and winning a lot. So I'm super proud of him. And, you know, whatever he decides to do after is, you know, I'll be happy and I'll be there to support him for sure.
Is there ever going to be a time where maybe you step down and play at the $1-2 poker table with me? Because I can't hang at your financial level. So if you can come down to play 1-2 with me, I'd really appreciate that sometime.
Hey, right now we might need to play 50 cents to a dollar. You know, things are tight. Things are tight. Mike.
Yeah. I'm happy for Mike that he's at the 50 cent table to begin with. So that's good news for everybody.
Man, I'm like, I don't know how you play poker so much. It's such a drain. I feel like it's fun, but it's super draining. You know?
Liquor.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good answer.
Yeah. No, that's it. Noah can attest. He's seen me on my stream, enjoying too many beverages.
No, there was one during quarantine that I, for some reason, stayed up with you until like 1:30 in the morning.
Right.
And you were not okay.
No, I was in bad.
You were long gone.
Bad shape that night.
I just want to play doubles with Stefan again.
Oh, God, yes.
Man. It was absolutely my best doubles match I've played in my life was finals at Kalamazoo, by far. And Stefan told me to fuck off during the match, which was great on top of it. We didn't. I lost 3 break points in a row, and then he proceeded to say, why can't this kid win a fucking break point? And then we won Kalamazoo without speaking to each other, and look where we are now.
Yeah.
Look at this.
So that was in the quarterfinals, I believe, right? So was it in the finals?
That was against...
Okay, I don't remember exactly.
Altamirano, no?
Okay, so long story short, one match in that tournament, we were down, I think, we were down... Like maybe I don't remember exactly what we were, you know, what happened, but we were down pretty big, and I don't know. It's just, you know, I felt like, you know, I don't know who it was.
Now I remember. I think it was might have been Mo and Tiafo.
Yes.
Or something like Mo and somebody else.
Yeah,
Mo, on that, I was on the backhand side.
Yeah.
Mo kept kicking. Yeah. I kept shanking the backhand, and I never do. And I was like, what is happening? But then, of course, my partner is like, we sat next to each other on the bench, but he acted like I was not in the room or the facility. And he's like, why can't this fucking kid win a break point?
I'm sorry, like, man. Oh, I'm so sorry.
And then
we
proceeded to not win another, to not lose another point, but we just didn't high five. We would literally cross sides.
Oh my God.
Well, to be fair, I think at the time I could have beaten both Michael Moe and Francis Tiafo playing doubles. I mean, they horrendous. Horrendous.
Mike, your backhand looks like it should be. Never mind. We're just not gonna go there.
It's good memories, man.
Mike thinks he could play with a precision. It's super cute. That's cute.
God, I have a mohawk too, so things are going really well in my life. Kaz, someday I hope to join you wherever you're at right now, with the palm trees and the swimming pool on the lake. I hope to just hang out there. We'll just play heads up late into the night, and Noah can. Go
you
to his grandma's house or
anytime,
something.
Anytime you want.
Okay, please. I appreciate it.
Stefan,
please come down. We'll play some heads up.
Much love to you, Stefan. We will hopefully both see you soon. I know I will see you soon, definitely. And we'll get a nice dinner, have a nice drink, keep
for sure
very chill and relaxed, and get Mike over this hump.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. All right. I appreciate it.
Take care,
guys. Thanks for having me.
Bye.
All right. Talk soon. Bye bye.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com.
The show might be over, but the conversation isn't. Join us on social media at NoahRubin33, at MikeCTennis, and at Behind the Racket.
Expect new episodes every Monday or Tuesday. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. It really helps us expand and reach more listeners as we take you behind the racket.